Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films, The Promised Land, Perfect Days, and Dario Argento Panico.
I'd like to start out by talking about The Promised Land, which is very much a historical epic. It's kind of a costume picture. It takes place a long time ago. But it's a really just a good, compelling story and a lot of fun to watch, a lot of drama to watch. And it's a good movie, and it's been, I think, finding a very good audience. So, and by the way, it stars Mads Mikkelsen, who is a very popular actor. He's not an actor I'm all that fond of myself. He's certainly a good actor. I don't find him all that appealing as a movie star. But hey, I'm in a very small society on that one. Most people seem to find him totally magnetic and compelling, and he's certainly very good in this movie. So this takes place a long time ago during the 18th century, and we are in Jutland, which is a very, very rural area, a very hard scrabble territory. That is a part of Denmark, and nobody has ever succeeded in making anything out of this rocky, barren, dry, cold earth. But the Danish government really keeps thinking, well, somebody really ought to do this. We've got all this terrain here, and we really ought to make something of it. And so people try, and people always fail. So then we have the main character of our movie comes along. His name is Ludvig Kallen, and he was in the army, and he has a little bit of a pension since he was an officer. And he goes to the palace of the king, and he says, hey, I can do this. And everybody laughs at him. Ho, ho, ho. Who does this guy think he is? He's just a former soldier, and he's full of dreams, and he'll never make it. But he insists he wants to try, and so the king gives him permission to try and says, what do you want? If you do succeed, and all that Ludwig says is just give me a noble title once I have done this. So, hey, there's not much to be lost there. So the king and his courtiers decide to give him a chance to do this. So then we follow Ludwig as he arrives at this barren place, and he finds out, yep, this is very, very difficult task ahead of me, but he goes to work on it anyway. And the thing is that he really doesn't have very much money to work here, and he can't do it single-handedly. It's just ridiculous. It would be hard to single-handedly get some sort of agricultural thing going if you were in hospitable terrain, and this is totally inhospitable terrain. But he gets some people to work with him. First of all, there's a priest who is in the area, a very nice guy, and he becomes a fairly important character in the film. And he helps to get a couple of immigrants who have run away from a harsh master, who is controlling their fate and treating them rottenly, if that's a word. And so the priest arranges for them to go and sort of hide out with Ludwig and become his helpers. So that helps. There's also a young woman who works, who comes from an ethnic minority, and she's comes from basically a very disreputable, scruffy gang. But she also goes to work to help out Ludwig. And so he's got a few helpers here. Even though there are some tensions, since the young woman comes from an ethnic minority, there are people who don't want to work with her, but they manage to overcome these things in various ways, and then things progress very slowly. However, there's one other big obstacle here, and that is Frederick de Schinkel, and he is the local aristocrat. And he presides over this area and other areas roundabout, and he is just a totally bad guy. Everything about him is bad. He is duplicitous. He is evil. He is cruel. He's everything. And he really, really wants to talk Ludwig out of this whole project. But Ludwig won't be talked out of the project, what he's trying to do here. And so the conflict between Ludwig and Frederick becomes a very important part of the movie. And in fact, a whole lot of the movie is just sort of the conflict between this good guy, Ludwig, we're totally on his side, and this very, very bad guy, Frederick. We are totally against him, and for very good reasons. And then all the while, we have Ludwig running into all the kinds of setbacks that people can run into when they're trying to work some very difficult salt land and things go wrong. And by the way, what he's trying to grow are potatoes. That's his big secret. Potatoes are a very hardy crop. So if he can just get those potatoes to stay alive, but of course all kinds of things happen to his potatoes and he runs into various obstacles along the way. And then all the time he's battling Frederick. So it's a very dramatic story. Takes place a long time ago. It is beautifully, beautifully photographed, beautifully in the sense of sometimes it's very harsh, but it's beautifully done. The director and co-writer was Nikolai Arsev, who does a wonderful job with this movie. It's just a beautifully done, old-fashioned kind of epic. So while it's an epic that centers very much on one main character, it's the kind of thing I sometimes call an intimate epic. You know, it's not full of armies fighting each other or anything like that. But it is definitely an epic. It's a long movie. It's over 2 hours, but I found it really, really quite compelling to watch all the way through. So if you would like to watch an old-fashioned movie adventure epic, I don't mean adventure in the sense of action movie. I mean adventure in the sense of difficult territory and a hardy hero and an evil adversary and all of that. If you want to see a good old-fashioned movie based on those premises, then The Promised Land is what you should definitely check out. It's pretty easy to get a hold of, and I just found it it's playing around, and I found it quite a dramatic movie to watch. And by the way, it has some violence and some nasty stuff in it. Again, Ludwig is a very evil character, but I just found it quite a compelling and just old-fashioned pleasure to watch. Next movie I'd like to talk about is Perfect Days by Wim Wenders. I believe I've talked about this movie before on the show, but now it's opening widely, and I just really think it deserves more attention. It's a really, really just fine, lovely movie in all sorts of ways. Directed by Wim Wenders. Wim has been around for a very, very long time. He's a German filmmaker, although a long time ago he became an international filmmaker. He's worked in a lot of different countries. He also has a really, really long-standing love for Japan. Years ago, he made a documentary called Tokyo Ga, which was about the very great Japanese filmmaker Yasujiro Ozu. He loves Ozu's works, and he loves Japan, and he's just spent time in Japan, and he's worked in Japan. And now he makes a movie which takes place in Japan. But it has an unusual slant on Japan. We haven't really exactly kind of seen this kind of story before, because the main character of our movie is a guy named Hirayama, and what he does for a living is he cleans the public toilets. Now, these are the Tokyo public toilets. They are not the kind of public toilets that you find in what few American cities actually have public toilets, which tend to be, I think, sort of grim and grungy. These are pristine. They're marvelous. They're lovely. They're automated. They're just marvelous places to be. And one of the reasons is that people like Hirayama have this job of cleaning them out. And, oh, he takes his job so seriously, and he seems to enjoy it. And he just goes into one of these public toilets, and he cleans it and scrubs it and disinfects it until it is sparkling, and then he moves on to the next one. Now, the whole movie is not Hirayama cleaning toilets, because of course he has to get to the toilets, and he does that by getting into his van and putting it's always a tape cassette that he puts into his tape deck. No fancy stuff here. There's a kind of retro element to this movie in a certain way. So he puts on one of his retro musical selections on his retro tape cassettes, and he listens to that. We get to listen to that with him for a while as he goes to work. So there's a bit of that too. He also has a co-worker, an assistant, whose name is Takashi, and he is really so much less into the work, and he doesn't much like it, and he's always slacking off and just not really doing things the way they ought to be done. So there's a little bit of conflict between Hirayama and Takashi, but Hirayama is just such a nice guy that it never develops into a full-blown conflict. So that's another level that is going on in the movie. Then some other people enter the picture, one of whom is a niece who he has not seen for a very long time. Her mother is Hirayama's sister, and Hirayama and the sister have not gotten along and have been estranged from one another for a very long time. So this niece shows up, and she needs a place to stay, and she needs some help and support. So Hirayama gives that to her, and then that puts into some conflict with his sister, who eventually enters the movie as well. So yeah, there's a few what I have to call minor characters. characters, and they give the movie some variety, which it pretty much needs. But mainly we are focused on Hirayama. We listen along with him to The Kinks and Lou Reed and Nina Simone as he listens to his tape cassettes. We watch him do his job, and we get a sense of how much he really loves this job. It really is right up his alley. Now, at night, he has a couple of other things that he does. One is he reads William Faulkner. We realize that this guy in earlier times was some sort of an intellectual. And that's another interesting element in the movie. He also has a little sort of a plant nursery, a little tree nursery, where he's growing little plants in his apartment. So that's another thing that he does. So this guy has a lot of levels. He's a complex person, even though his work for some time now has been cleaning toilets. So he's just an interesting character. Wim Wenders has long been drawn to characters who are kind of a little bit on the margins of society. He's done that in very well-known movies like Wings of Desire, which I think is maybe his greatest film, Paris, Texas, which he made years ago, takes place in America. Again, he's really an international filmmaker. But here he is in his beloved Tokyo, and he just gives a lovely portrait of a man, to some extent a portrait of the city, but again, a part of the city that we don't usually see in the movies. We see him driving to work, but we also see him spending a lot of time in those toilets. But it's just so interesting, and to take an unlikely subject like this and pull it off just beautifully, Wenders has really accomplished something here. Wenders used to be a very great filmmaker. Then I think he went through a lot of years of not doing such great work. This is a real comeback for him. I should also mention the lead actor, Koji Yakusha, who is just wonderful as Hirayama. So I just recommend Perfect Days. It is also a contender for the Best International Film Academy Award. And hey, it would be a really, really, really good choice if that were to win, I think. So now our final film for today, which is our only documentary for today, which is called Dario Argento Panico. Now, some people who already will recognize that name, Dario Argento, an Italian filmmaker whose specialty throughout his career has been horror films, a certain kind of horror film. He picked up on a tradition of Italian filmmaking called the giallo, which are sort of halfway between suspense movies and horror movies. And he got into this and he brought it, you know, gave it new dimensions and brought it to new levels and so forth. I've always considered Argento a maker of giallos. Some people would say, well, he's really outside that particular genre, but he definitely works in this sort of cusp between the suspense movie and the horror movie. His first movie way back in 1970 was called The Bird with the Crystal Plumage. And then his next movie was called The Cat of Nine Tails. And his next one was called Four Flies on Grey Velvet. One of the little jokes in the movie is that his earliest features had animals in the title. But he got beyond that. And oh, some of his other best known movies include Deep Red and Tenebrae and Opera. Oh, all kinds of movies made in the 70s and 80s. And thereafter. His best-known movie from 1977 is called Suspiria, and I think that is far and away his best movie, and it's far and away one of the best horror movies of its time. It was remade about a half a dozen years ago by another Italian filmmaker, Luca Guadagnino, which is also an excellent movie, but the original Suspiria is a very fine movie by the many people would say very great Dario Argento. So, this is a documentary about Argento, who is now a pretty old guy. But we see him working on a new movie, and he always writes his movies apparently in hotel rooms. So here we have him going off with an assistant to the hotel room where he's going to write his new movie, which is probably the movie Dark Glasses, which came out a couple of years ago, which is not a bad film in my opinion. In any case, there's a lot of complaining and griping by Dario Argento because he says, well, I don't like fancy hotels. This is a fancy hotel. I wish I weren't in a fancy hotel. But he settles in and he gets to work and he writes his new movie, and we see him working on that. But mainly, we see him being interviewed a lot, and we see other filmmakers being interviewed about him. Most prominently, perhaps, Guillermo del Toro, who is another specialist in horror movies, and who is just really, really respects Argento so much and has insightful things to say about him. One thing he says, for example, is that in a way you can see Argento's movies as sort of fairy tales. In a fairy tale, you just say the princess lived on top of a glass mountain, and that's it. You don't then wonder why the mountain was made of glass or why the princess lived at the top of it. That's it. So Argento has the same kind of thing. There is a room full of wire. Why there is a room full of wire? Well, there just is. And now we can have a good movie scene set in a room like that. But that's just a wonderful thing that Del Toro says. And he has a few other nice insights to shed on Argento's work. We also hear from Nicholas Winding Refn, another very fine specialist, mostly in horror movies, who also really respects Argento so much and sees him as a real leader of the field. Well, I have to say, I have never been a real major admirer of Argento. Yes, he's a unique filmmaker, but watching this movie, I was reminded in some ways about the things I don't like about Argento's movies. They tend to be garish and lurid and kind of overdone and just not all that effective, kind of over-obvious in a lot of ways. But it's interesting to hear people talk about him. His daughter, Asia Argento, who is a director and actress also, she has nice things to say about him, and it's interesting to see hear her talk about working with her father. So the movie has all kinds of interesting angles on this. So if you're interested in horror films or giallo films, don't miss it. If you're interested in modern Italian films, then probably you'll go see it. If you just want to see a good movie that's about movies, well, this is not a great one, but it's a perfectly good one. I enjoyed watching it, even though I'm not a huge Argento admirer. So that is my only slightly horrific story this week.
For which we thank you as always and ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The Promised Land, Perfect Days, and Dario Argento, Panico.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.